Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. We have a great program for you today, and as we move into the month of November and prepare for the Thanksgiving and holiday season, we invite you now to sit back, relax, and enjoy our program. And we'll be preparing for our readings coming up this weekend, the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. So as we normally do on our program, Clear for Takeoff, number one, we're going to go through our checklist. And here we go. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Is your heart open? And are you ready to engage in the Word of God? Check. Are your Bibles open? Check. And are you distraction-free, my friends? And these are the four requirements, truly, to go forward as we pursue the knowledge and insight to the Word of God coming up this weekend. So we're going to start off with our first reading from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 10 through 16. And here it is. In those days, Elijah the prophet went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the entrance of the city, a widow was gathering sticks there. He called out to her, "Please bring me a small cupful of water to drink." She left to get it, and he called out after her, "Please bring along a bit of bread." She answered, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jug. Just now I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son. When we have eaten, we shall die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose. But first, make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth.'" She left and did as Elijah had said. She was able to eat for 1 year, and he and her son as well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold through Elijah. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the book of 1 Kings today, my friends, we see the powerful Lord Jesus Christ working through the prophet Elijah. And he always works through human beings, my friends, to get the job done. And so here we see in the book of Kings that Elijah calls out to the widow to please bring me a cupful of water to drink and a bit of bread. And the Lord tells her, you know, do not be afraid. The Lord, the God of Israel, says the jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And the Lord is so powerful. You know, once again, He can work miracles in so many different ways. It's fascinating. And it's beyond our, you know, really comprehension, because the Lord loves to surprise us. And on this day, the widow was surprised, certainly, as Elijah, you know, gave her a word from the Lord, the God of Israel, which is so incredible. If you can envision yourself being there, witnessing this incredible miracle, you know, again, the Lord loves to increase our faith through miracles and through so many different ways. And he wants us to continue on that pathway to eternal life with him. And for that reason, you know, on this day, the widow, you know, has a faith increaser. Once again, this miraculous event where her oil does not run dry and the flour jar does not go bare. And so, you know, thanks be to God for the beautiful miracles that the Lord presents to us in the Word of God and today in the book of 1 Kings. But the Lord always comes through. He always provides an abundance. He never comes up short in many of the miracles that he has presented to us through the apostles, through the prophets, through the tremendous individuals from the Old Testament, like Abraham and Moses and Joshua. And the Lord does it again and again and again. And if you look at your life, my friends, how has the Lord given you abundance? What has he prepared you for? And what has he given you that you can clearly see you have been blessed abundantly? Because we really need to acknowledge how the Lord blesses us. And, you know, we want to do that because very often we take things for granted. And we don't have these blessings forever because everything's temporary. We know that in our lives, the things we have will, you know, change. Family life will change as people pass on. Homes get older and need repairs. Cars are basically, you know, run down to last mile, and we have to get new cars. So everything's temporary. Even our good health sometimes will go into a situation where we need repair. We need medicine. We need health care. And so we just look at our Lord, you know, today, and we thank God for the blessings that he has given us and the abundance that he has provided to all of us. And if you're out there, my friends, I want you to take stock of what you have and what you've been given by our Lord Jesus Christ and give thanks. And don't be, you know, too afraid to get on your knees and to thank God, because, you know, God is a incredible person, and he has the, you know, the knowledge and insight into what we do every day, what we're about to say. And we want to show him humility. No one comes to the kingdom of heaven unless they have the faith of a child. And God makes that clear. So don't be afraid to get on your knees and to thank God for the blessings that God has given us. Because once again, you know, if you are receiving the blessings of obedience, it's a beautiful thing. One of the promises by Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. And so we just tell you that because this is a very, very important passage. And in the passage, the word also goes on to tell us that the widow basically had, you know, a lot of fear. And the Lord said, do not be afraid. And gave her the peace So if you're living in fear, my friends, have comfort in the Lord, because the Lord provides peace of mind. He provides freedom of fear. And we need to, you know, walk in peace in the 168, as we call it, in the WINGS program, which is the total amount of time in a week, Monday through Sunday, 168 total hours. But we want to have freedom of fear. We don't want to live in fear. We want to live in peace. And when you have that peace, you can give that peace to other people. But one of the great messages in this reading is the power of the Lord, once again, through the miracle, how he provides. But first and foremost, listening to the Lord, because the widow listened to what Elijah had said to do. And the blessings that came as a result of her listening are very clear. And we too have that opportunity, my friends, to receive those same blessings, the miraculous events, you know, the birth of a child, a marriage between two individuals, a beautiful home coming our way, a great vacation, coming through something extraordinary like surviving cancer, surviving a tornado strike in your neighborhood. All kinds of things each and every day that we give thanks to our Lord for. Let's move to our second reading. From the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 24 to 28. And here it is. From the mouth of St. Paul. Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf, not that he might offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters each year into the sanctuary with blood that is not his own. If that were so, he would have to suffer repeatedly from the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, he has appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by his sacrifice. Just as it is appointed that human beings die once, and after this the judgment, so also Christ, offered once to take away the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Hebrews, once again, through the insight to our faith of St. Paul, the word says Christ entered heaven itself, that he might appear before God on our behalf. So the Lord goes to heaven on our behalf to give us access to eternal life, to eternity with him and his Father in heaven. What kind of relationship do you have with Jesus? I want you to give it some thought. Are we developing a relationship? Is there no relationship? Is it stagnating? Is it growing? Is it regressing? What are we doing daily to reinforce our relationship with Christ? Because God calls us to a strong, firm faith in Christ. And once again, the Lord, you know, goes on our behalf before the Father to give us access to eternal life through his sacrifice, through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, the most powerful event in the history of the world. So powerful that world time is set by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the year 2021 because of that event, because of that sacrifice, because of all that Jesus did for you and for I. Very important. Jesus takes away sin by his sacrifice, by his passion, death, and resurrection. And no one else has done that, my friends, except our Lord. And the word goes on to say that Jesus will appear a second time, not to save us from sin again, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. So the question is, are you and I waiting for Jesus to come? Or are we so busy that we've forgotten that he will be coming? And because we know that he will be coming, are we prepared? What is it that we are doing daily to prepare for his second coming? This is important. Once again, make a list of the things you're doing. Let's get things straight because, you know, nobody knows the time or the day when the Lord will come, but he'll come like a thief in the night. And when our time comes, we want to be prepared. We want to, you know, see our Lord, be with our Lord, and be taken to heaven. So we have a choice, really. It's either sin or salvation. We have free will. We know God gives us free will, the ability to make free choices, to do what we want to do. But are we lining up with what God says to do or what he says not to do? Are we choosing sin or are we choosing salvation? Let's be clear. What is your choice? What are we doing every week? What are we getting out of the Word of God as we hear the Word of God each and every Sunday? What are we doing with that Word that goes into both ears? Are we living it out? Our Blessed Mother calls us to live out the Scriptures, to read a few Scriptures every day and then live them out. Moses gives us the word to be careful in the book of Deuteronomy, to observe all the commandments that I enjoin on you today so that you can live and prosper. Be a recipient of the blessings of obedience. It's powerful. But to be in that zone, we've got to avoid sin. We've got to do our very best because we are sinners. We will make mistakes, and God will forgive us if we go back and ask for his forgiveness. But he wants to see change. So think about this, my friends. What is the number one change that you need to make? What is the number one sin that you need to avoid that keeps coming up again and again and again for you? What can you do? What is your strategy for avoidance? In aviation, when there are thunderstorms on the horizon and a pilot can see it on the radar 100 miles away, there's a strategy for avoidance. We either go to the left or to the right or over the top, but we don't penetrate that because of the damage it can do. So we have to have a strategy to avoid. If we want to be with God in eternal life for all eternity, this is important. I want you to give it some thought, my friends. What is your choice? And as we move through the program, I want to just offer a little prayer up for a friend of mine whose wife is going through a second mastectomy. She had the first one 10 years ago and has been diagnosed once again with breast cancer. And I just want to pray today, right now, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen, that our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven will remove that cancer from this young woman. And that she will bless her. And she will be blessed with great peace, serenity, with the knowledge that the cancer has gone away. That she will be blessed with good health. strong family, great peace of mind, and continue in her marriage for many years. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to ask you for the miracle of good health for this young woman, whose name is Pat. We ask that you, in your time and in your way, remove the cancer. She's already suffered 10 years with the first mastectomy as a result of breast cancer. We ask that you spare her and that you do it in a way in which you will be glorified. We ask this through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary and Saint Joseph, and through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's go to our third reading, which is our gospel reading coming up for this weekend, the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. From the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. And here it is. In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows, and as a pretext recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a severe condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put a large sum in. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury, for they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Mark today, my friends, the Lord has several messages for us here. And he highlights the fact that we should beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in the synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. For they will devour the houses of widows, and lengthy prayers they will recite. And the Lord says they will receive condemnation. And so there's a lot of responsibility for people who are in positions of authority within our church, within synagogues, within our faith. We have great responsibility as priests and deacons, as bishops, and as our cardinals and our pope, as pastors, as lay people who represent Catholicism and our Lord Jesus Christ and his church. We have to be careful that we are not vulnerable to making mistakes and hurting other people. For the Lord's word says they devour the houses of widows. These people will be condemned. The Lord is calling us to raise the standards within Christianity, Catholicism. He's calling us as Christians, as Catholics, to do whatever we can to live up to the Word of God. Not my word, but the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God is for the day, we need to live up to it. And it's a high standard. God calls us to be blemish-free and to prepare for eternity, to gain access to eternity through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to be careful as people once again in authoritative positions within our church, within our schools. Are we going into the marketplace, accepting greetings and seats of honor and places of honor, and then on other days hurting other people or the houses of widows? Are we hurting people? Are we hurting children? Are we hurting or impacting in a negative way the credibility of our church? Think about it, my friends. We have to be careful. Everyone within our church has responsibility and liability not to impact our church in a negative way. We want to be careful because people are watching and God is watching us. So we need to raise the standards and do all that we can to be a great witness for our Lord Jesus Christ and to not be hypocrites, but to come through 100%, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, not just 6 days a week, but on the seventh as well. God calls us to a higher standard. He calls us to do it and to do it with great love, not out of obligation, but because we love Him and want to please Him. The other message within our reading today from the Gospel of Mark talks about the widow who gave two coins worth a few cents, gave all she had, versus someone who is wealthy and gives a very, very small percentage of the surplus. So as we look at ourselves, my friends, and what we can give to our Lord, like the widow who gave two coins, she gave it all. Are you and I giving our all, or are we holding back? Are we giving our time, our quality time for God, our talents, whatever they may be, using them for God, and our treasure? Are we showing appreciation for those who put out for our Lord Jesus Christ, who are trying to raise the standards and been doing it for years? Are we doing all that we can to show appreciation? Let's raise the standard, my friends, and give all that we have to our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. That's our show for today. I want to thank you for tuning in with Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. Have a great day, and God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.